what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, surely. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday, after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold, hard facts, and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Yeah. All right, we're back here in the wonderful
show. Go ahead,
show.
Let us into it. Let's go. Let hey. Into it. Let's go. This is going to be an exciting show. Let them know, Kiki, where we at today.
We're at the wonderful American Heritage High School. So today we have American Heritage versus Cardinal Gibbons today.
And listen, this is, guys, you got to understand how big this matchup is.
Big,
this
real
matchup
big.
Has district implications.
Right.
When I say district implications, you're talking about the district with Hollandale, American Heritage,
right?
Coconut
Gibbons, mm-hmm. Coconut Creek. This is the district.
This is the game
to be in. Yeah. There's no bigger game in South Florida than this game right here when it comes to football on a Thursday night in paradise.
Right.
When I say in paradise, and when I look at this game and I look at some of the matchups that's going to take place today, I'm looking at Nick Scousel.
Ooh, that's my boy. You know I love me some Nick.
I know.
You know I love me some Nick.
And it's how Nick's going to fare out against Marco Wilson, Mr.
Right.
Wilson, and Mr. Surtain, two of the top corners in the country
right
against
now.
Nick Scousel, who's been putting up numbers out of this world, 14 touchdowns already on the season.
Remind him that he only a baby, Tony.
And he's only young.
He's
just a sophomore.
Just a sophomore.
He has two more years to develop, and you're watching him now do what he do. So it's going to be interesting to see, though. Now they get a chance to play a stiff opponent. Probably their stiffest opponent they played all year.
Two-time national champions.
And now we're going to find out just how
good they are.
Good Cardinal Gibbons' offense is, because now they're playing a defense, like I say, that has held opponents like no other. Probably the only hiccup that they've had in this season was to a Booker T team.
Right.
That at that time was flying high.
Mm-hmm.
Was flying high as it can fly, but then after it beat St. Thomas, kind of tapered off.
Downfall.
So that kind of hurt. It hurt St. Thomas in its ranking, and it kind of, hurt American Heritage in their ranking because they can't really see where they're at now Booker T have fallen so far off.
Right.
When it comes to the talent. But not only do they have Nick Scousel, they have Rondell Haney and Bostic that Scousel is going to throw to. Those two guys, when you look at Bostic is a big, what we consider a big receiver. When you look at a guy about 6'4", 210 pounds.
And moving.
Going up against Pretty Butch. When you look at American Heritage's corners.
Right.
You got Surtain, that's 6'2", 190.
Uh-huh.
You got Wilson, that's 6 foot. So you're not looking at short corners for them to go after.
Yeah, they can match up very well with Bostic.
And it's going to – now, Bostic is a physical guy. Bostic is no, short guy when it comes to his strength. So it's going to be a physical matchup when it comes to that. I'm quite sure they're going to come out and play man. And American Heritage feel like they can play Cardinal Gibbons' receivers man up.
Yep.
But I don't see them – it's going to be interesting to see how much do they come up against a guy like Bostic on the outside. Do they come up and play him – physically on the outside, or do they say, hey, listen, we're going to back off that a little bit? But I'm telling you, we're here at American Heritage.
The game starts at 7:30, so you guys still have time to come.
And listen.
It's going to be a game to watch.
And we're here by the concession stand. The food is smelling good. I'm, I know I'm going to have to pick up me a burger. And I've been eating pretty clean, guys.
I know.
All week. I've been eating clean. So I can, you know, I can get me a little
piece of my stomach.
I had to
cut my diet today. Just for today.
You know what I mean? I've been eating clean.
Clean as can be.
Our boy Ryan Bartow is going to join us later on in the hour. This is an hour show, so we're going to get in here and dig into breaking down guys and just let everybody see. And Bostic is committing to Vanderbilt. Ooh. Not only, you know, you have Haney that's already committed to Vanderbilt,
right?
But we have stated on our show on Monday night that he will take some other trips.
Mm-hmm.
That he will trip a little bit just to see.
Just to see what his options.
You know, just look at his options and see where he goes at. I mean, but let's break down in this, guys. When we break down, when I look at American Heritage's offensive line, which is when I look at it, they will lose three of their offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You got Herbert. They'll lose. You got Slayton Jr. that they will lose. And you got Zachary that they will lose. So they'll lose some of their big – when you look at – let's break down their size when it comes to this. Why, if you're just joining the Tony Sands Show, we're live here at American Heritage High School with the key matchup between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. And when we look at that, when you talk about their line, let's break the size down.
Right.
You're talking about Herbert, who's 6'5".
287.
You're talking about a big tackle that can move, that's athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's athletic as can be. When you look at, you know, their guard, 6'3", 290, that's a pretty big guard when you look at it. Zachary Zarambo, that's a big guard. And then not only that, Slayton, who's 6'6", 338.
That's NFL size right there.
That is a big tackle. And then you match up against pretty well Cardinal Gibbons' defensive line.
I love Cardinal Gibbons' defensive line.
You know, their guys are 275. So, I mean, they don't give away that much when it comes to weight.
Right.
On their defensive line side to the American Heritage offensive line. And that's what this game is. Everybody's saying that it's going to pretty much break down to
defense.
American Heritage offensive line and how Cardinal Gibbons defensive line can hold. Now, and when we look at, let's break down their schedule when it comes to the schedule that Cardinal Gibbons has had and the amount of points that their defense has given up. Because their defense hasn't given up that many points when it comes to it. They haven't given up that many points. They pretty much have outscored their opponents when it comes to their ratio of win to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to win and losing in the ratio category, their defense has played pretty stout. But then, like I say, you know, they're looking at also what their offense looked like, probably the best offense that they had opportunity to go up against, and they beat them, and that was Chaminade Chaminade. So, that key matchup that kind of fared out pretty well. But now, everybody's talking about this game.
Yep.
And everybody's putting American Heritage, you know, possibly to win this thing by 2 touchdowns. I don't see that playing out there, because I think what it's going to come down to the decision-making of Nick Scalzo and how he can play this thing and how he can take his reads and take what the team's giving.
Mm-hmm.
Take what American Heritage defense give you and get down the field. Now, everybody, when it comes to American Heritage offense and Cardinal Gibbons defense, they're saying, right, when you look at this, now, the question that we have about American Heritage offense is, can they throw the ball? Because that's what the one thing that everybody's been seeing, that they can't throw, and a lot of teams have been playing them. A lot of teams have been playing them 8 and 9 in the box. Mm. So if you stack the box 8 and 9, it forces me to go to something that I'm not used to.
Right.
It
also forced Gibbons to stop the run and the pass. Because play action, if they can pull off a play action pass.
And that's going to be key. Now, if I play 8 or 9, I better be able to play outside. My safeties and my corners better be able to man up.
Because if you let one big play go down the field, that could break the whole game loose.
Yes, but they're saying, you know, like I say, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us in the air. You're not going to beat us on the ground. We're not going to set back as a setback team and just let you beat us on the ground, period. And as you can see, guys, we're seeing American Heritage has already taken
the field.
They've already taken the field.
They're already warming up. This boy's ready.
We're waiting to see
how long
does
America pass.
you know, the guys are, like I said, they normally come out. I watched them against Booker T. They came out with the same routine. They came out in the beginning. They got stretched and warmed up without the shoulder pads.
Uh-huh.
Came out and went over some plays and was able to get hyped. And right now, I'm quite sure we're awaiting the arrival of Cardon Gibbons.
Cardon Gibbons just pulled up, just to let you know.
So they just pulled up.
They just pulled up. They just pulled up.
So now this
just saw the bus.
And it's like, I'm quite sure Cardon Gibbons understand what this game means.
Right.
Because they haven't fared out the last 3 years. They haven't, this game hasn't played to their favor. And when I say haven't played to their favor, haven't played to their favor in the points, in the way of points.
Cool.
They've been, you know, it has been a lopsided loss to where American Heritage has scored over 60 on them and got out early. But now, this is a better improved
Cardon Gibbons team
to where they're saying, hey, we're not going to have that many points like that scored put on us. We're ready. If we ever been ready to play, we're ready now. They believe in Nick Scalzo. They believe in the system.
Right.
And I'm quite sure, as I talked and I touched bases with Coach DeBuck earlier this week, Coach DeBuck said this is the best week of practice that they've had.
Cool.
The best week of practice that they have had have been this week. And and you got to. There's no prep talk. There's no pep talk that can get you ready for this type of excitement. If you are not already ready, then that means you are not ready. You're not built to play this game. Coach, you ain't got to say nothing to me about this.
Them boys already ready.
He's not ready. You don't need to be on the field.
At all. You don't got to say anything to me. We understand the dynamics. Listen, we owe them. They have beat us bad, made us look bad. Not only made you look bad, but this game is by district championship. If you want to set the tone that Cardon Gibbons is ready to go, today is that day.
Yes.
And I had a chance to talk to Coach Donnell Bennett, and he said he got a pep talk that's going to be unbelievable for the guys. But to me, in this game, I don't believe you need pep talks. That's my opinion. There's certain games that you play that you don't have to say a word to.
You got to be able to strap up and just walk on the field.
When I played at the University of Kansas, at Kansas State and Missouri game, you didn't have to say anything to me.
Right.
I knew what that meant for our bragging rights. I knew what that meant for our program. And it just meant so much to me that, hey, I want to let you know that you are not going to beat me, not my rival. Same thing when I played at St. Thomas. There were certain teams that I said, Coach Smith, you ain't got to get no pep talk.
Yep.
The pep talk was enough. The game, knowing that I'm playing this team, is enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. It is enough for me to know that, hey, this is the game that I need in order to set that tone. In order to set the tone, this is the game, and it is getting hyped. We're waiting the arrival for Cardon Gibbons to take the field.
That's right.
We have, you know, we've got a chance to see American Heritage come out and do their thing. And now, guys, you got to figure Monday night now. We got a big show also Monday night. Oh, Monday night is breast cancer night.
And y'all, my ladies, with your pink shirt, because I'll be wearing my pink shirt. Tony, I need you to wear your pink shirt.
I'm going pink.
I need you to wear your pink
shirt.
I'm
a survivor. I'm wearing mine.
I'm going pink.
Your pink shirt.
So I want you to tell all your people.
I'm a tweet.
Get on Kiki. Get on. Get all your girls. Because, listen, it's going to be interesting tonight, too.
Yeah. Right.
Because I got women that's going to be on the show talking about how they dealt with it, how it affected them, how it affected their family. Did it make them feel like a woman to go through this process?
Right.
Yeah. But we're gonna say that for later.
Say that for later.
We're gonna say that for
Monday night,
but we'll just
let
you know.
Monday night
is breast cancer night on the Tony Sands show. Listen, it's gonna be a different type of show that night though.
Yeah.
It's gonna be probably an emotional show. We're gonna have a lot of women in the audience. People talking about how it affected their families.
Right.
Colin, like you said, your mom is a breast cancer survivor. Yep. How did that affect you? Just to give me a little quick snippet. We ain't gonna get into it. We'll get into it Monday night. But how was that on you?
It was different because my mom caught breast cancer as I was transitioning to middle school.
Wow.
And that, like me, I'm a mama's boy. I was spoiled as a kid.
He's a mama's boy, as he was. He didn't want to say the word.
Yeah.
He started to say it, but then he said, the mic don't sound right. So, I was spoiled.
I was spoiled. So, like, when my mom first caught breast cancer, she didn't tell me until about over, like, a month later.
Okay.
Because I was still going through football season, Little League. I played Little League at the time. And once she told me, like, it just hit me for a second because,
yeah.
like,
Because did it hit you from a standpoint of saying, this is almost like a death sentence?
It hit me from that because, like, we both kind of figured out after a while. Because when she got diagnosed, she was diagnosed with stage 3, almost stage 4.
Yeah.
And that's when breast cancer hit you late.
Right.
And she was getting the sign, but she never wanted to get tested.
Okay. And that's, you know, I've heard
that's
that a lot.
That's a lot of things. A lot of people don't want to get tested.
Especially when you're dealing with the minority women.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because of health care, or is it just we are in our black community, we are scared to get tested. I know our men are scared to go
the
to
colon.
The doctor. We're scared. Listen, yeah. Don't say nothing about that because I'm coming up on that. I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with that big time. I'm trying to figure out how do I allow someone to violate me.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out how do I let someone.
It's a mental thing though, Tony. There's nothing mental.
There's nothing mental about being violated.
I understand.
Nothing mental. I don't care how you prepare me. You're not going to prepare me for this process. And I know it's a process that I got to get prepared for because I got to know.
You want to be healthy.
But we're going to talk about that on Monday night. Yeah. But let's get back to this cardinal giving.
I like his shirt he has on. You see that cardinal giving shirt?
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
That's nice.
You know, I like that. Hey, you know, dad is playing that thing. That's nice. That's a nice shirt. But guys, we're live here.
American
Heritage. Hello, Kiki. Where
we at? Starts at 7:30. Cardinal Gibbons at American Heritage.
In Plantation, Florida.
Listen, and we're by the concession stand. We're by the concession stand. So it is going down. I love that. We're talking about
your shirt
on the radio right now. We're talking about that shirt
on the radio. We love your shirt.
We love that shirt.
We walked into a store that was hanging on the rack in New York City.
Oh, man, that's lovely. New York knew that Cardinal Gibbons had a big game tonight. They knew you guys had a big game. We're talking to one of the fans here at the game as he come. I mean, he had an exciting shirt on that blew my mind.
Yeah, we got to take a picture of that later on.
Yeah, that blew my mind. But, guys, listen, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play two songs. I'm going to grab me a snack, and we're coming back to dig deep into this American heritage. Cardinal Gibbons.
Hopefully by the time we come back, we'll see the boys on the field, Tony.
Yeah, they should be. They should be taking the field. And they look like they got some type of American Heritage, like they're setting up some type of, and because I see the women with pink on. So
right.
It looks like it's probably going to be a breast cancer game tonight. Parent night, and they got, with it being parent night, they got it as breast cancer night.
Yep.
Right.
So it's going to be an exciting time for American Heritage. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting because, our breast cancer night is Monday night.
That's right.
It is Monday night. So this is going to be an interesting game to see how this thing plays out when it comes to the key matchup. And like I said, we're going to get more into the key matchups between offensive alignment, defense alignment, and things like that. And when we look at, we're going to talk deep about the amount of points per average that American Heritage is giving up. And it's giving.
And the
when we come back here
too.
On the Tony Sands Show, live from American Heritage.
American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons game located at American Heritage High School. The game starts at 7:30. Tony, I see the boys are now just walking onto the field now.
Cardinal Gibbons, for a minute there, I said, well, darn, Cardinal Gibbons looked like they were coming out in just sweats, but I understand that they're wearing their gray pants with their white shirt. This was a new uniform type of deal that they broke out just for this game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They broke this out just for that game.
I've never seen this out there.
And then American Heritage, you know, pretty much now you see on the field now, guys, is there especially guys are warming up pretty much like their punt returners, their kickers, all the specialist guys are out at this point. The other guys are in the locker room. But Cardner Gibbons comes out walking behind Coach DeBuck. And they listen, this looked like a Cardner Gibbons team that understands, listen, we ain't coming out here to do no they talking. We are coming. It's going to be quiet. We're coming out to take care of business.
That's
They're
right.
coming out to take care of business. But let's break down some of this yardage. Let's look at their offense. I'm going to look at American Heritage offense. American Heritage is averaging per game passing in the receiving yard, 156 yards receiving and 150 yards rushing. So they pretty much is, when you look at it, it's been almost kind of a balanced type of attack when it comes to the total on the year, 14 touchdowns. But then you look at a guy like Nick Scalzo has already 14 touchdowns on the season. So when you look at his quarterback ratio, it's exceptional. My main man, Ryan Bartow, has just joined the show. Ryan, we're getting into breaking down yards per game that American Heritage. When you look at their, you know, they're passing for 156 yards per game.
Yep.
They're rushing for 150. So it's pretty much been on their time a balanced type of attack.
And that's what Coach Perez, who dials their plays up for them, preaches. They're going to run spread. They're going to run tempo, but they're going to be downhill. They're going to be inside zone. They're going to get the ball to Abraham Elsie, the big back. They're going to let the quarterback run off that and Jason Brown. And you're going to run a thing that they've done more that's opened up their offense is they're going to get Miles Jones involved. He's their junior slot receiver. They're going to get him involved on jet sweeps. Get him involved in the run game. And that's what they've done the last 4 or 5 years here, and they've won state titles doing that. Now, their personnel, skill-wise, isn't what it has been.
In the past.
But up front, there is good. They have one offensive tackle going to Florida. They have a four-star guy in TJ Slayton, who's a U.S. Army All-American. They have a Division I center. So that's a lot of teams in South Florida don't have that up front.
And that's what I'm saying. But when let's get back to Jones. We talked about how they're going to try to get the ball to Jones. You can look at Jones has been running the ball. He's already in five games. He's had carried the ball 15 times for 169 yards, which is averaging 11.3 yards per carry.
He's a game breaker. He's another guy that our guy at West Virginia, Juwan Sider, offered first. And he sees him as a spread guy that can take, you know, help you in the run game, can help you on verticals in the pass game, but he's a 4-4 guy. He's an elite athlete, and you see those all over South Florida. And credit Coach Perez from Heritage to, you know, open up the playbook more and get him involved in space.
Yeah, and then like you say, we look in 10 games receiving. He's had 10 catches for 132 yards, 13.2 yards per game. So that's telling me. They know they got – this is one of their weapons. So they know they got to get this young man the ball more. You got to put the ball in his hand more than ever in order for him to get in the game flow.
And the key for them, honestly, is can they get 14? Can they get 21? If they get over 21 points, they're going to win almost every game they play because they have as much defensive talent as almost anybody in the country. You have the number one junior corner in the country in Pat Surtain Jr. You have a four-star corner in Marco Wilson, a four-star, another defensive back in Tyson Campbell, who's 20 offers deep. You also are loaded on the defensive line. Andrew Chatfield, a four-star D end. You got two Division I D tackles and Nestor Silvera and George Ellis. So there's a lot of places that you don't have that. Didn't even mention Willie Hampton. He's a Nebraska commit at linebacker. Yep, so
that's what I'm saying. So
I mean, you're pretty stacked there. And you have a defensive head coach. You have a defensive coordinator in Chad Wilson, a former D1 athlete. So,
yes.
I mean, that's how they're going to play it here. And that's why they run the ball so much, too, is their ideal game is a 21-7 ball game. Yep.
And you know, everybody got pretty much, you know, you look at some of the predictions. A lot of people have Cardner Gibbons. I mean, American Heritage beating Cardner Gibbons probably by 10 points. Some have that two touchdowns. Some has 10 points. But I see this game a little closer from the standpoint of you got to stop Nick Scalzo. And that's going to be the question.
Yes.
Can Patrick Surtain, can Wilson. Can these guys hold up out there on those ends when it comes to matching up against a guy like Scalzo that know how to dink and dunk it down the field and not to pick you apart? That's going to be the question. Is Nick Scalzo's decision-making against Cardinal Gibbons' corners, I mean, against American Heritage corners, and can they play him?
Yeah, the Heritage corners, I think, can play with anybody. The key with them is he's good at improvising.
Yes.
Yeah. And when the play breaks down, that's when he's at his best.
Can they continue?
And, but, I mean, shoot, nobody in the country has three corners like Heritage has.
Correct.
And their corners, honestly, it's kind of like watching LSU against Wisconsin. Oftentimes, LSU's defensive backs were at the place the guys throwing the ball before Wisconsin's receivers were.
Right.
That's what kind of elite corners Heritage has.
But now it's going to be interesting to see, and I talked about it a little early in the show.
Yeah.
I want to see who comes down and plays James Bostic.
Yes.
A big guy like James Bostic.
Vanderbilt 6'3". Commit. He's a mismatch guy because he can hit the seams.
Yes.
And he can hit the flats, and he's hard to bring down.
And he know how to play basketball. So when I see a receiver 210, 6'4", that tells me, guess what? If you know how to play basketball, you know how to position your body in a way to where now these corners, I got to go through you to get to the football.
Yeah, I mean, Gibbons' best two prospects are both going to Vandy.
Yes,
with Bostic and Randall and Haney. And I can't say it enough, the job that their coaching staff has done. It's a new staff, new head guy, adversity hit, losing their top two guys, arguably, and Daniel Wright and Leroy Henley in the offseason. And to get them to buy in and to play as a team and to avoid distractions, they've done as good as anybody in South Florida, in my opinion. And it just, again, shows you the essence of the ultimate team game. You may lose one guy, a safety, or one guy, a receiver, but you're still good on the lines. You're still good elsewhere. And most of all, the team comes together and plays together.
And like you said, when you look at this now, and their slot receiver, Sandy is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Sandy is going to be the guy that pretty much decides, because now you're going inside. Okay, we're going to line you up on the outside. You're going to put your best two corners in Wilson and then Surtain on the outside. But who's going to go and come inside to play a shifty guy like Sandy? That's going to be the question. He's the leading receiver on Cardinal Gibbons' team with 342 yards, average of 15 per catch.
Yep.
So that's going to be important, because I know your outside guys, you're going to put your best guys on the outside. You're going to try to cover Bostic either with Surtain
or Wilson.
You're not going to, you're not going to gamble to go inside with those guys.
And they're not going to use him to try to go vertical against those guys. I think you're going to try to see him do crossing routes and try to get freed up, because, I mean, good luck. I mean, those corners, they just don't get burnt. They're that good. There's a reason why they all have 20, 30 offers.
So now, against a team like Cardinal Gibbons, with the way they pass the ball all over the place, do they say, okay, we got enough at our corners to play, to come out and play you man? But now, you know what happens in a passing type offense when you decide, I'm going to go on the outside and I'm going to play man. Who accounts for the quarterback when he rolls out?
That's the beauty of having a dual threat QB.
That's what I'm saying.
You're playing 12 on 11.
Yeah.
I love dual threat QB. I love tempo offense. I love spread. I can't get enough of it. And if you don't have it, like we saw with Miami last Saturday, and if you don't have the protection, it goes against you at times.
And that's going to, like I say, when you look at that, okay, and I know they got plays, okay, we're going to run you off. We're going to put a running back out in the slot. So now your backer's got to cover him. Your back is turned as a DB.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now Scalzo can run up the field, and he's a guy with speed. So he can run up the field, and before you know it, those type of quarterbacks, that happened, and that kind of hurt a little bit when St. Thomas went out to Vegas. This guy was able at any point in time tuck it down and pick up about 5 yards.
And he's one of the best in the country.
Doing it.
And he does that all the time. That's an element where Gibbons can probably see their best gains against a loaded defense like that, is to free up your dual threat QB. And and run inside zone. But at the same time, if the play breaks down, he's able to keep the chains moving because of that.
When you look at a guy like this, he's going to get you at least on a bad play. He's going to get you in what we call in football. If you get 3.5 to 4 yards, that's a positive play.
Yeah.
And he can get you that at any point in time. So now you're just not able to get in this game. And that's what, like last year, American Heritage were able to come in this game and able to put 8 and 9 in the box because at that time, you know, Gibbons wasn't as wide open a passing attack as they are now.
Run offense.
So he was able to do that. I don't think American Heritage is coming in this game with the intent to say, listen, we can go 8 and 9 in the box and beat this guy. Because I know they're going to come after him because he's a young guy. And normally, in this type of game, you want to go after a young quarterback to rattle it. Because he understands the magnitude of this game. And at this point, this will probably be his biggest game so far as a young quarterback.
By far. And he hasn't seen the kind of talent throughout his schedule.
Yes.
Probably the closest would be the Miami-Jackson game, which he did good in. But now he's going against some of the best in the country. And it's at their house.
Yes. So.
And they obviously cleaned up and have improved a lot from when we saw them.
Yes, but
that first game against Booker T where they did not look good.
But one thing, when I look out and I look at the Carney Gibbons team, I say to myself, the Buck has got put together a plan like no other. He's put together the best plan I've seen in the last couple of years at Carney Gibbons. What I mean by that, the guys have bought, when you get kids to buy in,
to believe.
Yeah.
Buy into what you're believing that this is everything. What we do, execute everything to way the we're going to get a positive play out of this.
Plus, the best coaches are the ones that see the personnel that they have and they play to the personnel strengths and do what they're actually capable of. He's not going to come into a game and say, hey, we're undefeated. We've done this.
Yes.
It's worked. Let's start doing something else. They're an air raid team. He's a Mike Leach disciple. That's what they're going to do.
Yes.
They're just going to see if that works against probably as good a secondary as you're ever going to see.
And they don't change it. The best thing about it, he won't change. The Buck will say, hey, listen, if you're going to beat me, I might tweak some things, but I'm not changing. I believe in putting
that's
the ball in
that's what's got him here. That's a big reason why these kids are excited. It's a fun brand of football. It gets kids out. You throw the ball all over the place. If you're a skill guy, who wouldn't want to play in that?
Yeah.
If I'm a receiver and I'm looking at this and I'm a young receiver, not saying that I'm, you know, doing any type of recruiting, but I'm doing more pro. If I'm a young guy in around and I see a quarterback like this, man, that's heaven for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you, as him as a young guy, he's a sophomore. So that means he has 2 more years. He has 2 more years to get this thing right. Not only, it's a lot. And you know what? It amazed me here in Broward, there are so many young quarterbacks that are coming up. You got Burbank, that's over at University School.
Yep.
Another kid that was up north, transferred back to Florida, and he's leading University School, pretty much. He's playing pretty well over there. The young man is playing pretty well. But
we saw one of the best young quarterbacks the last time we were here, Daniel Richardson at Booker T.
At Booker T, yes.
He's already got offers as a sophomore.
So, and it's going to be interesting now. You know, when Division I schools come down here, by the time that class come up, that's the 2019 class. Right. By the time they come up, it's going to be some nice quarterbacks in that class.
And usually these guys usually there's one, maybe two a year that will get recruited down here. But this isn't an area that's known for offensive linemen or quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, exactly.
You're coming down here for your back seven on defense and your skill on offense. You're coming down here for your heart and most of all your speed.
And I've talked to, you know, we have scouts and coaches on the show. That's the first thing that they say when they leave to come here. First thing they gotta say, hey, listen, come back with me some speed.
Yep.
Don't get me something that I can get up here.
Yeah.
Get me that dog. With speed, I can find a player locally, but you're going to South Florida for a different type of player.
There's a staff down here Kentucky that has four commits. They send a lot of familiar names on that staff. They recruited South Florida for years. Their offensive coordinator, Eddie Grand, their wide receiver coach, Lamar Thomas, their head coach, Mark Stoops, a former Hurricanes assistant. Yes. All three of them arrived in Paradise last night. All of them went through seven schools each today. Four of their 13 commits right now are South Florida kids. Cedric Dort, a defensive back, 6'2" at Dwyer High School. Josh Ali at Chaminade, a 6-foot wide receiver. Yes. Yeah. You also have Cleavon Thomas, an athlete over at Flanagan that could play receiver or safety on the next level. So, I mean, they've come down here, got some good talent. Mike Nesbitt, one of the fastest kids in Broward County, a defensive back for Boyd Anderson. Yeah. And they're not done either. Eddie's aiming to try to get that King of Paradise title. And to get that, usually you got to get about a half dozen. So they're in the game for Leroy Henley at Deerfield Beach, part of one of the best receiving corps in South Florida. And they're in the game for DJ Edwards up at Palm Beach Lake. So they're not done yet. If they offer Sebastian Dolcin at Miramar, they have a great chance to flip him from UCF. So that's just an example of a staff realizing you can come down here, get guys that are maybe perceived as thirds or fourths, but have upside, and they go up there and they outwork kids and they fill in, they develop, and they bring speed and confidence to the program.
And then when you look at it, Lamar Thomas, UM guy. So he understands what he's coming to Florida to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lamar knows what he's coming to Florida to get. He's played with these type of guys at the University of Miami.
If he had his way, he would sign three receivers every year, and they'd be from Palm Beach and down. And he understands that. I mean, to share a great Lamar Thomas story with you, when he's at UM and they have Heisman-winning quarterback Gino Toretta, they're on the two-yard line. They huddle up, and he's like, "Hey, Gino, I know Coach Erickson called a dive on this play, haven't seen a quarterback ever win a Heisman Trophy for handing the ball off." Gino goes up to the line, audibles, fade pattern, Lamar Thomas, touchdown Hurricanes. Coach E is like, "I didn't call that play."
And I'm going to tell you something. Me and Lamar came out together. You know, we played in the Hula Bowl, and we came down to Kansas, came down my junior year, and we played them. And interesting story with this, I'm on the plane coming down. Kansas getting ready to play Miami. First time I'm in front of my home crowd.
At the OB.
Yes, that's when it was jumping. You can feel the stadium rocking as if it got sharks on it. So I'm telling the guys Miami had just kicked some butt on some previous team. I mean, really physically got into it with some teams before. So we're coming down, and I'm telling my guys on the plane, I hear coach at the time was Glenn Mason, say, "Listen, we ain't going to take nothing from them." The words he used were a little bit more, explicit.
Yes.
He said, "We're not going to take anything from them. They're not going to run," because Miami was known, when they have you warm up, they had you warming up on that west end zone in the Orange Bowl, to where they run out through your warm-up and was used as their intimidation factor. So he had already told us, and they're not going to run through our warm-up. They run through our warm-up, we're going at it with them. Okay. Me and Lamar already knew each other. So all of a sudden, they runs through our warm-up. And our lineman, it was at the time, they stationed our offensive line down in that area. And our D-line in the area. And you got to figure, we had deep tackles like Dana Stubblefield, Gilbert Brown. So we had some dogs there. Dana Stubblefield, Gilbert Brown, Keith Mamalonga. And if you know, Keith Mamalonga was the – Keith Mamalonga. I've never seen a guy just completely in a fight snatch a face mask clean off a helmet. Snatched it clean off the helmet. Yeah. When you see that, man, you're like, okay, hey, let's end this thing. So then on Keith, we had Keith Lonica, who plays in, he's a movie actor now.